We're actually in the book of Ephesians, and it's been a while since we've been back here, and so want to just take a look at that just for a few minutes. We're going to look at a little bit of history, but then we'll get right into tonight's titled message, and I've titled tonight, God's Light. And we know all sorts of things about light. We know a lot of things about darkness, and so tonight in this particular section in Ephesians, we get a lot of information that we can take and apply to our own lives. In our Wednesday night Bible study, one of the things that we do is we observe the scripture, and then after we observe it, then we interpret it, and then after we interpret it, then we apply it to our lives. And so that's really exactly what's happening here in this particular passage, because Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's trying to make some things very clear to them. The first three chapters was all about doctrine. The last three chapters are all about how then to apply that doctrine into their lives. So tonight, as we look at this particular section, we'll start in verse number 8, and we'll read all the way to 14. So now that you're nice and comfortable, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word. Okay. Starting in verse number 8, chapter number 5. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, for Christ shall give thee light. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just ask that tonight you have your way in this time, this study. Father, I pray it'll be fruitful for all of us. And Father, I pray that as we observe this passage and as we look at what you have for us and your interpretation of this passage, then Lord, may we take it then and apply it to our lives in this next week. Father, I'll ask these things in your Son's name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So it's been some time since we've been here, so I thought I'd just run over a couple of things. There's some things that in this last section that we looked at, and in that, he's making correction. So as he's gone through and made some correction in this particular chapter, we understand that, not everything we do is right. I guess we all could agree with that, right? Even with the best of intentions, we can still do things wrong, even with the best of intentions. My dad had the statement, he said, it's never right to do wrong to obtain right. And as a small kid, I had a hard time with that because I didn't really understand that. But as I grew older, it made just sense to me, especially when I got into my teen years. It's never right to do wrong to obtain right. So even we might think, well, if I do this one thing, the outcome is worth it. Well, the outcome is never worth it whenever you do wrong. So in this particular passage and in this book, as we're looking at it, he's been going over these things that are not good. He went over fornication, uncleanliness, covetousness. He talked about those things, filthiness. He's been through all these, and now he finally gets to the passage, the part where I think he really wants to get. When we look at this section, he starts out with something very interesting there in verse number 8. And I hope that, I don't know which translation you have tonight, but I hope that you'll take a look at this, especially this first section. So it says in the King James, you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light. One of the things I want to kind of highlight for you is this fact. It didn't say sometimes you were in darkness. He says sometimes you were darkness. Now, that's a hard thing for us to kind of consider. You know, we know that we are okay to say, yeah, we're sinners. We're okay to say, I've sinned this week. We're okay to say that I'm not perfect. We're okay to say those kind of things. However, are we also okay to say that sometimes we're in darkness? Now, we know that when God spoke and he said that there be light, it came out of nothing. And so now, therefore, there was this darkness and there was light. And from the very beginning, there's been light and there's been darkness. And so in this passage, as Paul is writing to them, he makes sure that they understand that, hey, there have been times when you were darkness. Not you were in darkness, but you were darkness. I know it's hard for some people to admit that they're failures. I know that's probably the hardest thing for me. I'm sorry is right after that. Admit our failures and then say, hey, I'm sorry. Especially, you know, for somebody who loves his wife as much as I do, there's plenty of times where I have to say I'm sorry. And there's sometimes I have to just understand I was a real jerk. I was bad or whatever it may be. Same thing when I was raising my children, same types of things were going on. And I understand that many times I was in darkness rather than being in light. And so he says that it's important for them to understand. He says, you were sometimes darkness. And then he says, and now you are light in the Lord. Now, if I was to ask you tonight what that passage means to you, matter of fact, I'm going to ask that. I know we'll not pick it up on me, though, but I'd like to ask you tonight, what does it mean to you that now you are the light in the Lord? What does that mean to you? We'll just take a hand and I'll call on you. And if there's no hands, I'll call on you. So, Guy, what does it mean to you? Yeah, but you were slow about it. Yeah. So now because he's saved, he says he can now share that light with somebody else. He could talk about it before, but now he really understands what that is. Larry? Yeah. It's interesting to me, our solar system, that we can look up in the night and we can see stars, you know, and we can see, sometimes we can see the planets. And it's interesting. The only reason we can see those is because it is not the light, but it is the reflection of the light. Our moon shines bright, but it's not light. There's nothing in it to cause light, but it is a reflection of the sun. And in many times, that's a good way for us to look at how our Christianity is. It's not so much that we are the light, but we are actually a reflection of the light of Jesus Christ. So we're a mirror, if you will, of that. So he says, you were sometimes darkness, and now you are light in the Lord. This is a heavy, heavy responsibility that each one of us have. I want you to think about that. This is a responsibility that we have to be the light. Right? Would everybody agree with that? It is a responsibility. And he says, therefore, walk as children of the light. So you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light, so therefore walk as you are children of the light. So he's making it really pretty simple here. I mean, it's almost ABC block friendly. Children, they have those little blocks, and I just love them when we got some, and A's on one side and B, and then you have all these different blocks, ABC, and this is almost an ABC. It was sometimes you were darkness, now you are light, therefore live as children of light. So it's real simple. It's almost a formula, if you will. Couldn't live for Christ before I was saved. But once I got saved, now what is my responsibility? My responsibility is live for Christ. Be the light. Share the light. Reflect the light of Christ. And so that's what he's talking about. And the next verse here in some of your translations will be in parentheses. I don't know how many of you are, but I'll just kind of go through this. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit is goodness and righteousness and truth. And then there's a kind of little smiley face with a wink there. Now, this was the original emoji. Tough crowd. All right. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, we know the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Matter of fact, let's just turn there. It's Galatians chapter number what? Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. Very good. So if you wouldn't mind just turning there real quick. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. And here's the things I want you to look for as we're looking at this particular grouping of words in this phrase, and that is, look for goodness and righteousness and truth. So, what are the fruits of the Spirit? Well, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, those are the fruit of the Spirit. So, let me ask you tonight, if we were once darkness and now we are in the light and we should walk as children of light, then these are things that should be They should be examples of what our daily life is. We should have fruit of the Spirit. After all, if the Holy Spirit lives within us, then we should be exhibiting this type of fruit. So what type of fruit should we have? Well, we should be having love and joy. And, you know, in our world and in our walk, sometimes it's hard to have love and it's hard to have joy. Isn't it interesting here that the very first thing he says is love? You know, if we don't have love, then the following things then really don't matter. And they really don't add up, and it's hard for them to even follow us. So if we have love as the number one thing, then he says, if we have love, then we will have joy and we will have peace. Now, we know that during this world we're going to have tribulation, John chapter number 16. We know that we're going to have tribulation, but Jesus says, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So if we're going to have this joy, if we're going to have this peace, the only way we can have that is because we know who the foundation is, stone is, and that's Jesus Christ. We know we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We know we are a child of God. We know we are joint heirs. And so therefore, that ought to bring us joy. And so many people, that's not enough anymore. Joy is key. Being a follower of Jesus Christ, being a servant of His, is more important than anything else that you and I can do. So he says here, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Long-suffering, seriously? But anyhow, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So those are the things he's talking about. So now he wrote that to the churches in Galatia. Now the churches in Galatia was not a church. It was many churches that were in Asia Minor, which today as we know as Turkey. But he's writing to them. So he says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So we could take the fruit of the Spirit and we can actually see that it is in each one of these. It is following along in goodness and righteousness and in truth. Then he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So our life, we were in darkness, now we are in the light. We should live as children of the light. Oh, by the way, we should show the fruit of the Spirit. And then he says, and proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. I've never been a part, I've never seen up to this point where people are so questioning their faith as it is today. I just haven't seen it as much. Now, I grew up in the 60s, and I remember when the Way was happening. Everybody remember the Way? Yeah, a bunch of hippies got together, and they said, okay, we're just going to smoke weed and read the Bible, and we're going to be good. Anyhow, that's a gentle thing of the Way. That's what they were all about. And I remember that they came out with some really cool songs, you know, a little acoustic and Kumbaya and those kind of things, and they're really kind of interesting to sing. And so my dad asked me one day, he said, well, are you going to follow the Way? And I says, well, yes. I didn't know he was talking about that Way. I thought he was talking about following the Lord, and I said, yes. And so we had a very serious conversation right after that about the Way. And I said, no, not California the Way. No, I'm not going to do that. But he said, we should prove then. Now, that word prove is kind of an interesting word. It means to test by implication. It means we are to test that. We're to test, if you will, prove that we have the fruit of the Spirit simply by being the light. If we are the light, we will prove to the world that we are followers of Christ by having the fruit of the Spirit. So I'm going to tell you today, and just mark this down, write it down, put it in an email, that you're mad to me or whatever, but I want you to mark this down. We, as Christians, are to be fruit inspectors. I'm not telling you to be judged on a cynical manner, but we are to be fruit inspectors. We're to know other people's fruit. We're to see the fruit. Because if we don't see the fruit, then that tells me something very important. If I don't see the fruit on a person, then I'm going to say, do they really know Jesus Christ? And now my task is to introduce them to Jesus. I've been a church member all my life. Hey, I was in that one. I'll raise my hand on that. Yeah, I was a church member. I didn't know Jesus, but I was a good church member. We need to prove. We need to show the world. We need to be exemplary in all of the fruit. We need to show the world what we have. Because the world today is searching for something. They are searching. There's a big hole in their heart for God. They have no idea how to fill it, and they're trying to fill it with all sorts of things and have been doing that for centuries. But now the world is so close and coming in, and there's so many different avenues now that we get entangled in that stuff. And he says, no. He says, show the world by proving to them that you do have these gifts, that you have these wonderful fruit, if you will, that should be exhibited by each one of us. So if we're in next Sunday morning, I want you to walk into the back doors back there and come in and just expect people's fruit. Yeah, being serious. Love, joy, long-suffering. Man, isn't it just great to hug somebody like that? Isn't it just great to shake hands with somebody who has great love, great faith? Man, it is. And if you see somebody that's not exhibiting that, then you should automatically start praying for that person. We have a lot of visitors every Sunday morning in our services, always. We have visitors who have been with us for many, many times. They're really checking us out well. And I want to tell you, amen to that. Check us out, check us out, check us out. Come to a business meeting, all those kind of things. That's what I tell people. Come in, really check us out before you join with us. Know what you're getting into, if you will. And part of that is, I hope they see our fruit. I hope they see something more than just saying kindness, but we actually exhibit kindness. More than just saying love, we exhibit love. And I'm talking more than just the handshake and the smile on our face. I'm talking about how do we interact then with folks when they come through the door. That could be a great jumping board, a diving board, if you will, into our life outside of the church. Because after all, church is not where we have, and the church is not the end. Church is our big come in, let's get pumped up, let's get revived, let's get a little bit of medicine, let's get a little bit of taking care of, let's sit in a room with folks and have those folks then talk to us about our life. Let's get involved in understanding that our life is not here, but here is where we get charged up and ready to go out. This is where we learn, this is where we pray, and now we should be going out and doing these things. And we shouldn't be just exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit here. We should be showing the fruit of the Spirit everywhere we go. When you walk into a room, do people automatically see joy in your life? Oh, I know we sometimes have hard times. I understand that. But do they see joy? Do they consistently see a happiness in you that anybody else, they would not see that? That's kind of what Paul is talking about here. Remember, this church is going through great persecution. So he's telling them, hey, even though you're going through all that, you still should exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You should still be showing that, even though things are not going your way. Well, let me tell you, anybody can have great joy and love and peace when things are going right. It's when things are not going right where our fruit really shows. He goes on by saying, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And then he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So let me go again and say, write me emails if you want to. However, we are to confront sin, and we're to confront those who do wrong. We're to confront them. How are we to confront them? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's how we're supposed to confront them. We're supposed to confront them as brothers and sisters. So if we have somebody who is going wrong, it's our opportunity, if you will, not our obligation, but our opportunity to then talk to them and try to bring them back into the fold. After all, that's exactly what Jesus talked about when he talked about how do you discipline in a church. You go to them by one, try to win them back. If that doesn't work, you go by two, and if nothing else works, you take them by three. And the whole goal of that is to win them back, bring them back into the fold. That's the whole purpose. So he says, and have no fellowship with them, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, there are some times in some of your relationships you may have to stomp the very dust off of your feet in order for them to be taken care of, in order for them to find their way back. Maybe even God will judge them to bring them back. We all have heard the thing. Sometimes God, you know, has to put you on your back so you can do nothing more than see God. Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't like that one personally. Because I think God judges in a lot of different ways. I don't think it has to be a hospital. There's a whole bunch of different ways that happens. But he's saying here, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. You know, there's a lot of things we today in our church, and I'm saying church, not Lakeview, but there's a lot of things that happen in church today that 50 years ago we wouldn't even talk about. Brought up in a business meeting, a person bringing some of the things up would be ousted, put on a a log and taken out of the church. I mean, that's just what would have happened. But today, we are more and more open because we're trying to be PC. And we have to be cautious about that. I don't find anywhere in Scripture where it tells us to be PC. What I find is, be fruit inspectors. If there's a lacking in their fruit, then you and I are then to go to them in love and to bring them back. That's our goal. That's our premise, if you will, for other church members. How in the world can we win the lost if we don't show who Jesus Christ really is to the world? How can we win them? Well, the only way we can is by understanding we were darkness. We are now light. We're supposed to live our life according to the light. We're supposed to exhibit fruit. And we're supposed to stay away from those who are living in darkness or in continuing to push that. And then for us then, to try to win them back if we can. Sometimes it may take you to move away in order for you to be able to help them. Then he goes on to say this. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Now, manifest means revealed, okay? So all things, once they're tested, then by God's word, and by the way, this is our rule. This is our magnifying glass. This is our window right here. We don't go to somebody, and because they do something differently than we do, we don't then judge them accordingly. For example, I remember for many, many years, and well, now I'm really telling my age. Well, today's old-fashioned Sunday. I remember when you couldn't walk into a Southern Baptist church, ladies, and wear pants. I mean, I remember that. And I remember the scriptures that they would pull and look at. And I kept looking at those scriptures and I said, I don't see it. I'm okay with that, but I just don't see that. A woman should not wear clothes that pertain to a man. Well, what in the world does that mean? And what does that mean today as compared to the time in the first century? But I remember when women didn't. I remember the first time my dad allowed my mom, and allowed is kind of a tough word, but finally said, okay, you can wear pants today. It's because the ladies trio at the church we were going to all came in pants one day. My mom kind of did that to my dad, and so he said, okay, I don't like it. I'm against it. I don't like it. But that happened. Has it hurt us? Absolutely not. Those are not the things we should be concerned about. Things we should be concerned about are false teaching. Those are the things we should really watch and be careful about. So just because somebody does something a little bit different than me, I shouldn't get too concerned about that. My biggest concern is to show them that there is fruit and how we obtain that fruit. Then he goes on to say this. It's going to be manifested by the light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleep, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So he's kind of talking to us today. There are those who in the Christian church are saved, but maybe they're a little dead. Maybe they're sleeping. Maybe they're not aware of what in the world is going on around them. I want to stop here just for a moment, and I want to ask you to do something for me this week and start of next week. I want you to pray for the Southern Baptist Convention. For those of you that do not know what's going on, this convention is going to be a very hotly contested convention in a variety of ways. The men who are running for president have tremendously opposite views on life. I am very concerned about what's happening in our convention, and I would really ask you to be praying for them. Really heavy on my heart. But anyhow, I would ask you to do that. And you say, Bob, what in the world are you talking about? Okay, all you have to do is get on Facebook or get on Google and just Google Southern Baptist Convention 2018. And then just type in resolutions. And start reading some of the resolutions and it will just freak you out. Some of the things they're going to be talking about at this year's convention. So please be in prayer for the Southern Baptist Conventional meetings that are going to be held in Dallas coming up. Wherefore, awake thou that sleepest. And I believe today we can become so asleep in church that we start not even seeing the things that are happening around us. We don't even know that the ship is sinking. We're just sitting there until all of a sudden the water starts getting around our feet and we say, oh, wait a minute. No, he says, whatever you do, he said, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead and Christ shall give thee light. Is there hope for the church today? Absolutely. Is there hope for the Southern Baptist Convention? Absolutely. We have more churches this year than ever before, and our baptisms are down again. We added 2,900 churches this year, And we still, our baptisms are down. Now, we still are baptizing a lot, but our baptisms are down again. So our baptisms just keep going like this, even though we're adding more churches. So there's a big problem out there. Arise, wake out of the sleep. I think we as the churches, we need to understand that we've got to do more than just sit in a pew. We've got to do more than just have church here. We've got to have church outside of our walls. We've got to proclaim the word everywhere we go, because we know that Satan is alive and well on this planet, and he's doing everything he can to tear us apart. The real key then is, how do we respond to that? And the way we respond to it is by really simple. Jesus told him the key is the golden key. You can put it in your pocket. It's the password. Is the ultimate, and it is simply this: go ye therefore into all nations, preaching, teaching, and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we are to do. Don't get all caught up in politics. Don't get caught up in all these other kind of things. Just take your mind and say, okay, that's not the important thing. The important thing is I need to tell my neighbor about Jesus. And for that backslider who says, you know, I just don't know, I walked away from the church many years ago, be a friend. Show your fruit to that person so that you can bring them back. That's our job to do. Don't get caught up on these other things. And it's almost like he's saying here, awaken from those things. Don't let them things bring you down. And he says here, last part of that, from the dead, for Christ shall give thee light. Now, that's the real key. In and of ourselves, we cannot create light. But God creates light, and God is light. And therefore, as we have him inside of us, he then exhibits light. And therefore, we can show light to this dark and miserable, cold world that we live in. They don't like what we're doing, but they really want what we have. They don't want to be Christians, but they really want peace. They really want religion, but they really would like to have love somewhere. Love that always is there. They really like to have that, but they can't, because they're searching in all the wrong places. The only way the world is ever going to know that is by you and I responding and saying, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That is how we'll reach the world. The world will never be saved by us sitting in this church and having a great time and walking out the doors and not exemplifying then who Jesus Christ really is. If our fruit is only visible here and it's not visible when we go out into the world, then we're just fooling ourselves. The world needs to see that. The world wants to see that. Jesus wants you to do that. So why don't we? That's the real question here. So in this last verse, we see here that he says, awake. So I think that, you know, you and I, we just need to kind of take a look and say, okay, am I sleeping? Is there things I'm not seeing? Is there things around me that I'm not doing? Am I praying enough? Am I studying my Bible enough? Am I proclaiming his word enough? Am I fearful? Am I afraid to tell somebody else about the Lord? If so, then Holy Spirit, can you help me and show me and encourage me? Because if in fact I am the light that the world sees, I am what Jesus Christ left. In order for the world to see him, it has to be through you and I. That's the only way he's ever going to see it. Your neighbor's only going to see it through you. Those people that you work with are only going to see it through you. You have your own sphere, if you will, your own group of people that you work with that I do not work with, or somebody else in this room works with. Instead, you have an area. You have where your house is. You have where you work. You have the things that you do, your restaurants that you go to, the organizations that you belong to, the dog park that you go to, whatever it may be. We're to show light to all those places. We're to show the fruit that we have, not because of us, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. That's what we're supposed to do. So next week, we'll pick up in verse number 15, because he says then, if so, then I want you to walk then circumspectly. So you can look that word up this week. That'll be a good one for you to look up. Let me go ahead and close in prayer. Those of you that are in the church council, we're meeting in the conference room right after this. So I would say get your hugs in really quick and then move in there so we can discuss the things that we're going to do, the plans that we're going to make. I do want to say with all my heart, what a great time I had today. Bob, you really pulled it together today. I saw people really singing loud and heavy, and it was bang, 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 song after song after song. I could almost see people saying, yeah, I remember that song. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was really fun. So anyhow, thank you very much, Bob, for setting that up. And for all the rest of the things that happened this morning. I had a great time in Sunday school class, and I got to tell you, this is where I get pumped up. This is where I get plugged in. This is where my battery gets charged so that I can last the rest of the week out in the world. And I hope that will do the same thing for you. Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do acknowledge my failures, and I acknowledge those areas, Lord, where I have been in darkness. And Father, I only want to live in the light. I'm a sinful creature, and I know I need to confess my sins. And Father, I don't want to just be sitting there dead and just be things going around me and not understanding. Father, I want to be that witness that you'd have for me. I want to study like I've never studied before. I want to pray like I've never prayed before. Lord, I want to tell others about you like I've never done before. Father, I pray as Paul was earnestly challenging this church, Lord, I pray that we'll also challenge ourselves to know that people need to see the fruit and that that fruit is goodness. And that fruit really exhibits you. Father, I pray now that you'll be with us as we leave this facility. Lord, I pray that on our hearts and minds, that Holy Spirit, you will prompt us and you will encourage us. You will love us, and you will also tell us, Lord, when we've done wrong. And Father, I pray that you'll have your way in our lives this week. And Father, we'll ask these things in thy name. Amen.